All right, listen.
I can.
I'm doing it because I have to.
Are you about to be a dad?
Did you watch? No. No. God.
No, meant to me, not in general.
Oh, gotcha. Well, son. Yeah. Son, let me tell you about the birds and the bees.
Oh, God.
Those are two creatures that exist in the world, and I do not understand why they were used as a metaphor for sex.
Neither should literally be banging the other whatsoever.
No. If birds and bees are doing stuff like that, we've got bigger problems than telling your child about sex.
Is it?
No. Is it what?
Is it because one has like queen bees and the other has peckers? Did I just crack the code?
Here's the thing. I don't think you did. I do not think you did, but like, I appreciate the logic it took to get there.
Okay, please finish your thought before I derail you so much that you can't.
that's so good of you. That is wonderful of you. I got to do it because, like, holy fuck, did you watch the Final Fantasy State of Play?
No, and I'm glad I didn't, it sounds like.
Why? No, it's great. It's like it literally is just like showing, like, there's not really spoilers. It's just showing like
a lot.
It's showing like reanimated, like all the new shininess of like stuff you already know about.
Sure.
So it's just like, it's showing you walking around like the prison.
Okay.
Showing like stuff that you know is happening. So it's not like any spoilers for like new stuff or anything. It's like, if you've played Final Fantasy VII, it's just like, whoa, it's this thing that I love. It's sure. This thing that I love. And they fleshed out the dolphin minigame like I was hoping.
Hey.
And there's a new card game that looks kind of like Triple Triad, but it isn't Triple Triad, that I'm very excited
about. Yeah,
to play.
I heard there
that's
was.
That's going to take a lot of my time.
Heard there was the Gwent equivalent.
It's not a Gwent equivalent. It is a fucking Triple Triad equivalent. Every single video game, in-game card game
is now
fighting from underneath to be. No, it's fighting from underneath to be as good as Triple Triad. And nothing is, and nothing has been. I don't give a fuck what you think. And I know a lot of people that are listening to this, we'll talk about this later. Like, nobody knows, like, a lot of people that are listening to this do not know what Triple Triad is. They do not know what Gwent is. And if you do, welcome. But, like, I do not care what your opinion is. It's wrong. There is not a single video game card game better than Triple Triad. And that's just true. I'm not the biggest fan of Final Fantasy VIII, but the one thing, if I'm only allowed to give Final Fantasy VIII credit for one thing, is fucking Triple Triad. And then they put Triple Triad in Final Fantasy XIV, and I wasted time there too. It's fucking amazing, and nothing touches it. And this new game in Rebirth looks kind of like it.
Nice.
And I'm excited to try it out and see if it can reach those lofty heights.
Have you played the demo?
Not yet. I have it downloaded, but I got caught up in Like a Dragon again.
I saw that, like, when you actually play the game, it will let you skip that part if you play it to completion.
Interesting. I did not hear
about that. And they will patch it and update it. Like,
yeah, I heard about that.
That's pretty cool.
They're going to add a part. So the demo right now is the Nibelheim flashback.
Sure.
Like, it's that whole section. And then they're going to patch it and let you play in Junin for a little while.
Yeah.
Not the whole part, but just like part of Junin, which is pretty cool.
Right. I think, you know, like you did with Alan Wake 2 and I kept ruining it. I think I'm just like going to try and go to like media blackout as much as possible. And as much as, you know, Twitter likes to not let that be a possibility, but I don't want to go through and mute words because I still want to see conversation. I just will, you know, gaslight myself into not believing any spoilers I see.
Yeah. Well, because here's the thing about Alan Wake and where I was feeling with Alan Wake is that like there is so much mystery to Alan Wake's whole thing is the mystery.
Yeah.
And so anything you see from Alan Wake trailers could be like the biggest spoiler
right.
you've seen. Whereas I think with Final Fantasy, because it is part of a remake like series, you're not going to get like there's so much more to show that will excite people that don't involve like spoilers for new stuff.
Sure.
And the stuff that they might spoil is stuff that I already know about because I'm very familiar with the original game.
Yeah.
And which is basically all the State of Play was just like, here's the shiny new version of stuff that you've already seen. And here's our 400 music tracks.
Yeah. God.
This shit, and like it's like a 7-disc CD set that we're putting out, and it's just like Like, it's all just familiar stuff. And like the state of play, it didn't go into like story details, even like a lot of like Final Fantasy VII based story details. It didn't go like, you see the characters that you already know exist.
So sure.
You see all this other stuff. And so the first one, Remake, went places
yeah.
that people were not expecting.
Yeah.
And we can be assured that Rebirth is going to have the same thing, but they did not go into any of that stuff. And I doubt they will.
Sure.
Because that's the stuff they can keep secret, because they know that showing the stuff that people already know about is going to be, and showing the mini games and the gold saucer and stuff like yeah. that stuff that people are going to be excited about, that's going to hook people no matter what. So they don't need to show any spoilery stuff that people don't know about.
What were the things called in Remake, like the whispers? So no shots of yeah, the whispers in this trailer or anything like that. Sure.
No, good. No whispers.
I'll be curious how a certain moment in this game happens with those whispers.
I don't think it'll happen.
I don't know.
I think it might happen in the third one. I don't think it's going to happen like we think it is in this one. I think
sure.
something else is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's been my theory the whole fucking time. Ever since I played the Remake, I was like, oh, that's not going to happen the way we think it's going to happen.
Right.
I think it's still going to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen where it happens. And
yeah. Well, and you dropped your Advent.
I'm talking in vagaries.
Of course. And you dropped your...
People who know.
Yeah. You dropped your Advent children theory last week, which I still... well, I guess for the listener, it would be this week. No, next week. Timelines are fucked. I don't know. Who knows?
Timelines are
fucked. What day is it? What time is it?
For the listener, they will have heard it already.
Yeah, pretty much. I do fuck with that. I really like it, but I'll be curious. I mean, we are there visually fidelity, but you know.
Yeah, for and to go back to that, I think it is crackpot. I think I'm fucking crazy, and I think I don't like the likelihood is that that is not what it is. But in the event. That in the advent
Oop.
that is what it is. I have like documented proof on Discord that like I called it
nice
before anybody else called it, and I should tweet it just to be safe.
But yes, you should for me.
I there it is. I called it.
Just send it
putting
to
it
me.
In the universe. Just only tweet it at Mr. Krobs.
Yes.
Hey, guess what I thought of.
They'll go the Metal Gear Solid 4 route, and just the ending of the next game will be the entirety of Advent Children.
Hell yeah.
You don't play any of it. You just sit and watch it.
You just watch the entire movie.
Yeah.
It's just the movie. with QuickTime.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe just to keep you awake, or maybe press X if you want some memories.
Press X to Jason. Press F to pay respects.
Yes.
Press...
R3 and L3 to accept the truth.
Yeah, press up, up, down, down, left, right, BA. Start the fucking podcast.
Let's fucking go. Mm-mm. What a downer episode for this to be. Welcome to Adam and Sam at the Disco. I hope you brought your blankets and pillows. We're going to have a comfy little short one this week, hopefully. Just please don't forget to gently close the goddamn door. I am Adam.
I'm Sam. I love we had like a bunch of energy in the intro, and now we have to immediately take some fucking quaaludes to calm down. Some auditory quaaludes.
I'm going to fall out of my Ferrari and crawl into the house.
Yeah.
We're talking another leaked track this week. It's weird.
Yeah. This, it is weird.
This was what? The Dennis Wakeman recommendation?
Yeah. Wake. Speaking of video games, do you think like anybody aside from like maybe Dennis and Elliot understand why we say that when we talk about Dennis?
I at least do hope that Dennis does.
I think Dennis probably
would be
does,
cool if
because
does.
Well based on some stuff that we're going to talk about in a minute, I think Dennis probably understands. Yeah. But regardless, I think those are like the two people that get it.
Yes, probably. Absolutely.
It's fine. Everybody gets a weird thing that we say about their name.
I think when Carrie catches up, she'll probably catch it as well. But, you know,
probably
because she had to sit through most of that experience with me. Hold my hand. Make sure I wasn't scared.
Hold my hand. I'm a scared boy.
Little bitch.
little pussy.
Yeah. So this week we are talking about the this is from the Pretty Odd era. We're talking about the song Lullaby, and I am not going to play the chorus of it like I usually do at the beginning of these. And I will explain why later. But yeah, we are listening to Lullaby today, talking about Lullaby. This was suggested to us by Dennis Wakeman. Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. But first, we do have some stuff to discuss within the Spotify ecosystem. Yes. And we also have some things from Instagram as well that we're going to talk about. And first things first is the aforementioned Dennis Wakeman says, I am a big fan of both musicals and video games. I think the theatricality of pop punk and emo lends itself to those niches, which is why your demographic is split between. I like both. And I think that's good. And that is exactly why I decided that I was going to talk about Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's good. I think we have a nice little inroad, and his reasoning is probably spot on. I mean, what isn't more pop punk than video games and musicals? And right, I don't mean that sarcastically either, because, you know.
No, not absolutely. Like, for sure. I agree.
We all grew up little emo kids with our sad songs and our sad video games.
We did. It's great. So that's that. And then we have Elliot Holmes. We know Elliot.
Yeah.
Elliot says, I demand video game talk. Deep dive into that Death Stranding 2 trailer. You know you want to. And Elliot, I can tell you this without a word of a lie. That is the last thing I want to
do. We're not going
to
fucking do that here. We have no time.
So we've talked about this a little bit, but I used to do a podcast for about 5.5, almost 6 years called... maybe longer, I don't remember, called Metal Gear Mondays. And initially it started as a podcast where we discussed the video game series Metal Gear Mondays, and it sort of evolved into a more like wide-reaching...
Wait. You did not discuss the series of video games Metal Gear Mondays.
Metal Gear Solid, right. I'm so sorry. We discussed the series of video games Metal Gear Solid is how it started, and then eventually it branched out into just being kind of about Hideo Kojima and his games that he makes and like his other games that aren't Metal Gear Solid and like movies and stuff that influenced him and that were influenced by him and things like that. And so we talked about a lot of stuff. And one of the things, the last like full game that I covered on that podcast before I hung it up, it doesn't exist at all anymore. But the last thing that I personally did before I hung it up was we covered the first Death Stranding video game. And I was already kind of exhausted with Hideo Kojima by that point anyway. But Death Stranding was such a just like a inscrutable fucking mess.
Clusterfuck. And
it just really made me – it was such a clusterfuck. And like I have such a weird hate-fueled heart for Hideo Kojima now.
Yeah.
And even though – yeah, of course I'm going to play Death Stranding too because I'm a fucking sucker. Yeah. And of course I'm going to pluck and play Pheasant whenever the fuck it is, whenever it comes out. And of course I'm going to play OD because I'm a fucking sucker. But I don't want to dedicate any of my fucking precious energy into talking about it any more than I already have. So
I now have a Panic of the Disco podcast. Of course I'm going to play Death Stranding too.
Yeah.
I think for anybody who has not fully dealt with it, but yeah, Death Stranding, like Sam said, is a clusterfuck, and it's like next level art house self circle jerky to the max.
Yeah,
sure. I don't think there's anything more self elating than Death Stranding 2, but
yeah,
and I do love to come off this comment while also stating that Elliot is also a known musical lover, so his comment comes there, but you know, he's also of our ilk, you know, driving back and forth between Wellington and Wichita, Kansas of 35 miles and listening to every range of music and musicals that we could. So
so all of this to say, we love musicals, we love music, we love video games, we love all this stuff. Yes. And we're going to talk about all of it as it all piques our interest. So we're not going to stop talking about musicals. We're not going to stop talking about video games. We're just going to talk about whatever is interesting to us at the time.
Yep.
And I think that's okay. We love all of you, and we love all the stuff that we love. And that's going to be, I think at the pre-roll last episode, when I got like weirdly on my soapbox about Jiraiya, which also something that I didn't even think about was I had that like rant about like supporting black musicians in the middle of Black History Month, which I was not planning. It just kind of happened.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Let's go. But yeah, it's okay to like the things you like, and it's okay to be excited about them. And even though it is a Panic at the Disco podcast, we're fucking, it's a cult of personality too.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason, and maybe, and you know, fuck me if I'm wrong about this, but I think part of the reason that people listen to the podcast, aside from Panic at the Disco, is because they like us, I would assume. Otherwise they would probably not listen.
Well, so. I think they like you, cause I'm always the one that gets voted dumb so fast. I think this is the longest time.
Yeah, but I think that's
a day. It's endearing.
Yeah. But I think it's a meme at this point.
Yes, it does have.
Like, yeah, you're kind of dumb, but also it's a meme.
Once we're done, we'll tally up everything, truly.
Yeah, I think periodically, like, I think we should do, like I did that one several months ago. I think, like, periodically, like, maybe, like, every year we should do, like, a year in review of, like, who's
dumber.
Dumbest. Like, when we do our Spotify and our Apple Music wraps, we should do.
Oh, that would be excellent,
Who's the dumbest year in review. So yeah. That'll be something we can look forward to. Although speaking of that, though, Kirsten, our resident musical professional, as we like to call her, did confirm for us that, yes, the instrument at the beginning of Little Secrets is a mandolin. I was right about that. But also that you can make that effect. You can make that sound with a ukulele as well. So,
yeah,
good to know.
You can tiptoe through the tulips at the same time.
Yeah, tiptoe through the tulips. The other thing is, she says, I'm just catching up on the pod. I just wanted to roll through and apologize for not dropping you a list. I'm bad at ranking. I hate Vegas Lights. I love both of you. Unsurprisingly, This Is Gospel is also my fave.
Spoilers.
So, yeah. Spoilers. So I think she might be dropping us like a full list, but spoilers, I'm pretty sure Vegas Lights is 12, and I'm pretty sure This Is Gospel is 1, and we can fill out the middle later.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I love both of you, she says. So there's a little bit of confirmation there.
Yeah. Input is always appreciated. Friendship is appreciated more.
Also something that she did remind us about that I did forget when we were talking about it. So the Mean Girls musical movie that came out at the end of last year is a musical movie based on a Broadway musical based on a non-musical movie based on
a book.
Mean Girls was a book first, and it's worth noting. So there's a lot of like degrees of adaptation for Mean Girls.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then she also offered to be our German tutor. So, Adam, if you need a German tutor, if you want to try German again,
I don't know if she has that much patience. See, I can't even fucking say things regularly. Right.
You can't even speak English. Oh, yeah. So what hope do you have in German? Yeah. Fuck. But yeah, we don't have a lot of extra things to talk about. Like I said, the Who Is Dumber votes are really piling in. The ranking is still 50-50. Music videos episode, Adam has 100% of the votes, and on Little Secret, Adam has one dumber vote. Stuck in the Middle has not released as of this recording, so we will see how that goes. Here in about 2 weeks.
Oh, you mean only this time? Dumbass name.
I don't mean that actually.
I can't recall. I do feel like we each did increase by one vote for the ranking, but I could be wrong.
No, so there's only 2 votes on the ranking, and it's 1-1, so I don't think so.
Maybe not. Oh, I thought we were at 2-2 now.
No, yeah, the ranking's still 2 votes.
Cool, vote for me now.
Yeah. Vote for Patreon.
If you have not voted for me up until this point, do it now.
So, should we talk a little bit about lullaby?
Let's talk about a little bit of a lullaby.
So there are some interesting like details about here. There's not a lot out there about lullaby. There's not like anything like solid or concrete. Obviously, I don't think there were any like producers involved. I think it was just the guys doing a song. So from what I understand, this isn't like a Cricket and Clover track. This isn't a Pretty Odd track. It's just like a song they did. And from what I can tell, it was a song they wrote for Pete Wentz's kid.
Just a baby.
Just a baby, which is interesting because, and especially because of what we're going to talk about next week, on the album Fully Ado, the Fall Out Boy album, there is also a song called Lullaby that was by Fall Out Boy that is a hidden track on that album. So I think that there might just be like a bunch of like Fueled by Ramen lullaby songs hidden out there that we don't know about that they just wrote for Pete's baby.
What is this, a crossover episode? Might I guess be. That's next week.
I mean, Fully I Do was like the crossover album of the century. Yeah. It wasn't. I've got some things to say about Fully I Do, which I love. Fully I Do, I think, was probably my favorite Fall Out Boy album before So Much for Stardust came out.
Sure. The Space Jam of Fall Out Boy albums.
The Space Jam of Fall Out Boy albums. But we'll talk about that next week, and we'll kind of give you an idea of what we're talking about when we get there at the end of the episode. But yeah, so there might just be a bunch of like lullaby tracks peppered around there. It might be worth looking into to see if there's any other Fueled by Ramen songs. Fueled by Ramen band songs called Lullaby that never came out. It might have just been released for Pete's kid. So that's cute.
That is cute. It's like the emo. It's like emo Jesus kind of welcoming in the three kings.
I brought you frankincense. I brought you myrrh.
Little Saint
and
Christ.
All the love I have is worth more than gold. There we go.
I love it. I love it.
I don't know which that was a non-specific Fueled by Ramen.
Oh yeah, that was just all of them.
That was just all of them. That was I put 1,000 hours of emo music into an AI machine and told it to write a lullaby about Jesus.
It's fucking
great. Maybe we should pull up ChatGPT again. You write an emo music. Actually, you know what? Hold on. Wow, this is wild. Oh, baby Jesus, born so pure, in a world so dark, you endure. Tiny hands, a savior's grace, born to save the human race. Hell yeah.
That is fucking awesome.
All right, let's talk about this song. Oh, man. And the reason, and so we'll do it. We'll do the typical what we normally do. Hey, Adam,
how do you feel about this song?
It is interesting. It's like, okay. And this might be exactly what it is too. There's like a non-zero chance. This is exactly what it is. It sounds like Panic at the Disco. We're in their cabin. We're in the mountains in the middle of the cabin. They were high as fuck, and they got a phone call from Pete Wentz, from Peter Wenceslas, and said, hey, would you guys be willing to write a lullaby for my baby? And they said, sure, dude. And then four high guys gathered around in a circle and just started singing the weirdest lullaby.
No shit.
That's how this feels to me.
This baby would be haunted.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there is no chance in hell that anybody's going to play this for their kid. Not even the real centers.
Peter Wenceslas might have, and I believe that. I don't know why I started calling him that. That's just a thing that I'm trying. Peter Wenceslas? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
PWS?
PWS. Peter Wenceslas. Attorney at law, Peter Wenceslas.
P-dubs.
P-dubs. It's just kind of it's interesting. Like, it's only 2 minutes long, so I don't think we're gonna be talking about it for very long. But it's like a 2 minute long song, and it's just like really like I don't know. It does the music is pleasant. Like, it's literally just this like one guitar just But we'll talk about that in a second. So here's what I'm going to do. The reason why I didn't play the chorus is because I don't really like, there's not really a chorus. There's too much. And like playing a chorus at the beginning of this section would have literally been like one third of the song. So what I'm going to do, because it's only 2 minutes long, I'm going to take a second. We're going to listen to the whole thing. Don't normally do that, but we're going to do it this time. It's unreleased. Who's going to come for us? It's not on any platforms except for YouTube.
Sarah
with an H is going to come for us, and that's okay. But we're going to play the whole thing. And then once we play the whole thing, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about it. How's that sound?
I love it.
I'll go first.
This really does feel like of the era of Pretty Odd, which
it absolutely is a dumb thing to say, knowing that
it's from that era, but it's a nice throwback. You know, it's not like listening to Pretty Odd, which we all know, but it's like it's going back to an album and being like, oh, I never knew this was a thing. And, you know, again, we all have heard every track. It's like this is just one that slipped through the cracks. And you're like, did I forget this? Did I not know this was there?
I really like it because it is, like you said, it doesn't sound like I'm listening to the album, but it sounds like I'm listening to the era. Yes. And it is really comforting in a way, because we've joked about it being like weird, and it is kind of weird, but like, it's comforting because like it's the four of them. They're all singing melodies and harmonizing together. And it just feels comfortable. Like it feels like it kind of transports you in a way where it's just like, wow, this used to be a completely different thing. And, you know, especially coming off of listening to Weird, which is a completely different thing. Like it's just such,
it's a strange cozy song, because while I would say that I don't think this would be a lullaby that I would play for my baby, you could probably play me to sleep with this or something. You know, like this is just a nice little cozy song with the four dudes that we used to hang out with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I like it too. Like there's not a lot to talk about like instrumentation wise, because like the guitar, the blum, 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 blum. Blum, 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 blah, 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 blum. That's all it is. It's that until the end of the song. That's all it is. And it's like, and it doesn't have any other instruments. It doesn't need any other instruments. It's just like this, like quiet, like thing. And it really does just sound like these, like they were in the middle of recording Pretty Odd, and they took a break to do something for a friend, to help a friend out, and just threw something together, and that's what this is. That's what it feels like to me. And it's just nice. Yeah. It's nice.
This is one of like one of the 30 odd songs that they wrote that just never made it.
Right. Maybe.
I will say that, and I believe I've said it before, and we have caught the brunt of this. I'm not going to sound nice saying it. The Panic at the Disco fandom kind of is atrocious at times. Like, I looked this up on Google, right? And of course, you look anything up on Google, you get 20 different Quora recommendations, 20 different Reddit recommendations. Mm-hmm. My dumb ass is like, you know, Reddit, why not? And then one of the first comments on there, and what do we say? This song came out like last year, leaked, not in anywhere explicit that you can go and pull it up readily. They're like, how?
Yeah, the video that I'm tracking for it is June 30th, 2023. So like, yeah, 7 months ago.
And one of the people on the Panic of the Disco Reddit to the person who had posted or whatever was like, how have you not heard this song? I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Okay.
Why would you have listened? Like what? You are not fucking special for knowing about a leaked track before somebody else, probably 2 months before somebody else. And also, this was on one of the posts that's like an honest question. Could this have been a Cricket and Clover track? But, you know, maybe all signs are no. Of course, the video I'm looking at has the Pretty Odd cover art. Dennis Wakeman said it came from Pretty Odd. All signs point to Pretty Odd. But no point of me wants to be able to just wholly write off that this was not a Cricket and Clover thing at the same time.
Well, I mean, because that's the thing is like, because Cricket and Clover is what turned into Pretty Odd. So I think the connection is there. And again, what we know of Cricket and Clover and what we've heard of Cricket and Clover. Right. Is all stuff like this that sounds a lot like Pretty Odd and a lot of songs that got evolved and were still on Pretty Odd and stuff like that. But like, there is nothing that says like, we don't know, like there's zero production details about this song. All we know is that maybe they wrote it for Pete Wentz's kid.
Maybe.
We don't even know if that's true or not. We're just taking that off of the fact that Fall Out Boy also has a song called Lullaby in the same time frame as this one. And so that's all we know. That's all we fucking know. And so it's just like, why couldn't it be from Cricket and Clover? You know what I mean? How the fuck are you? Like, who cares if you listened to it 9 months ago as opposed to 7? Like, who the fuck are you?
I don't care if this is, if the 2 minutes that you played this in this episode is the first time that any listener has ever heard it. Because to me, that would fucking make sense. Unless you are actively looking. Case. You know, unless a few episodes back when we read Dennis's fucking comment and everybody was like, oh, I gotta go look now. But I don't feel like our listeners are that level of like, I don't feel like they're the ones that are just champing at the bit for every little bit of news. We're not a news podcast. We're not here saying Brendan did this week, you know? So I can't imagine a lot of them are doing that, but it just shocks me sometimes. And this is all fandom, right? Like, I've probably had this fucking rant on here before, but like the Star Wars fandom sucks. The Marvel fandom sucks. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the fucking Tupac fandom sucks. Like, just anything and everything that people can be antagonistic about to one another, well, like I am right now for sure. It's just like they won't hesitate to do so and just undercut somebody else. I'm undercutting the undercutting. Yeah. It feels like undercutting.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like, that's exactly what happened to us with those Real Sinners. You know, like we dared to have an opinion that wasn't the same as theirs about how great fucking Viva Las Vengeance was. And we got told we were fake fans, man. Didn't like Viva Las Vengeance that much. That's what we joke about, like Real Sinners, Fake Sinners, but by calling us fake sinners, they mean we are fake Panic of the Disco fans. That's the whole crux of what that was. And so it's just like, why, like that's the whole point of being a fan of something is that you're allowed to have opinions about it. You know, it's so fucking stupid to just sit here and gatekeep the idea of liking a thing or not liking a thing. And it's wild. And so if if you tune into this episode and it was the first time you ever heard Lullaby on that little section we did, great.
Hell yeah.
Welcome. And if it wasn't, well, great. Welcome. Like who cares? Like, welcome. Everybody's heard the song now.
If you started this late, though, for this song, I'm going to question you. Not really. Welcome to our little party.
Welcome to our podcast. Welcome to our little party. All you got to know is that we edge, we goon, and our knuckles get
hard. No warning on that one.
And that's all there is to it. No warning. No warning this time. Daddy's nipples are, in fact, hard. Close your eyes, dream alone. When you arise, you will be home.
And how many of us have felt this? Like, this, I hope that came through on the microphone only because I could hear it. Gabe is playing Rainbow Six and just yelling at his fucking stupid game. I asked Carrie the other day, I don't know if we got him a desk for his birthday or a punching bag, because Jesus Christ, the very flustered control put down on desk. He's not throwing it, so I could be all right with that. All right, let's get back to it. Close your eyes, dream alone. When you arise, you will be home. I feel like we've all felt that, like, in the sense of when we were a kid or even when you're an adult, I guess, and like you fucking crash out. And you're just having your nice little willy-nilly childlike dreams. And then 5 minutes later, it feels like your mom or dad are snatching you out of the car and carrying you inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just like you're falling asleep and like all of a sudden, like you don't know how you're home, but you know that you are home and you know that you're safe. And I think that's very like that's something that I think a lot of people can kind of relate to, that feeling of like being young and like not knowing how you got somewhere, but knowing that the people that are like in charge of you are taking care of you.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we've obviously done it a lot, like Carrie and I as parents. And I mean, a lot of our endeavors would be 45 minutes back and forth between one family's house to the next or something like that. But the kids would fucking crash out within 5 minutes of being gone. And it's like they're out the entire time. And, you know, who's taking what kid in, essentially. And at that point, it's like, don't wake up. Don't brush your teeth. Just go the fuck to sleep. You're already asleep, but stay the fuck asleep. So, I mean, you know, it's just a nice, I think. And along with like, it's, this is one of those weird times to say that this almost sounds ethereal, because you kind of get the mixture of the voices in this. And I think it's kind of what adds to that level of coziness that I mentioned.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let me get to the next part. So it's kind of weird how it like transitions. So you get that like first part where they're singing the, and I love the way that their voice, like, when you arise, you will be home. Like, the way that they harmonize together is very beautiful. And, like, it always has been. Like, especially Brendan and Ryan sing very well together, and they always have. But, like, I'm pretty sure Spencer and John are on this, unless my ears are fucking nuts.
This sounds like multiple voices, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and just, like, as the guitar is being played after this first part, like the next part fades in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't like line up with like the guitar being played. They're just like saying it. They're just like saying it in a weird way. They're just saying this next part, but it's, take a chance and say you're coming in. Everyone will win. Take a chance at something coming in. Everyone is already away. And then it goes into the take a chance and say you're coming in. Everyone will win. And underneath that it goes, everyone is already away. I can't think straight. Everyone will win. I feel like we can win. So that's kind of what that next part is.
Nonsense.
Nonsense. Which again, if you're saying everyone is already away, I can't think straight. You're supposed to be singing this for a child. What do you mean you can't think straight? What are you talking about? What are you rambling about?
What do you mean everyone is already away? Who's
Vegas
away?
Ass motherfuckers. You fucking house party in Summerlin assholes. What are you talking about?
I don't get it, man. I mean, I think this is what really adds to the strangeness of the entire song. You know, we started out pretty sweet, started out pretty nice. And then we're just into gobbledygook. What the fuck?
Yeah. Take a chance and say you're coming in. Everyone will win.
Yeah. What the fuck does that mean? Like, I guess, you know, they're glad the newborn babies home. Like, we've got the balloons up on the wall saying congratulations. I don't know.
Maybe it's like Shinji in the chair. Congratulations. And then again, take a chance at something coming in. Everyone is already away. I can't think straight. What?
What's coming in the house?
What's coming in? Are you not talking about the boogeyman? What's happening here?
Man, that's a little spoopy.
It is a little spoopy. It's ominous in a way, in a gentle way. It's gentle ominousness. I love that,
yes.
I don't know. I do love that. I love that for us. I love that for this. That's really all it is, though. Because, like, close your eyes, dream alone. When you arise, you will be home. This weird, fucking ominous, take a chance at something coming in verse. And then they sing the close your eyes, dream alone part again. And then they do the take a chance part again. And then it's just the guitar playing out. And that's all it is. That's all Lullaby is. It's just like a song. It's a song. It's a song. Yeah,
it's just a short little ditty. I mean, really.
Yeah. Short little ditty car.
Yes. It's not Donkey here. No.
No, it's not Donkey.
It's not
Diddy.
Funky or
it's
cranky.
Diddy. It's Diddy Kong Racing. It's a little Diddy Kong Racing. That's
all. Just nice little cozy game with your friends.
It's nice little cozy game with your friends. That's it, really. Unless you have any more philosophical thoughts about Lullaby.
No, I think the only philosophical thought I have now is it's Ryan Rosling in these tracks and nobody else.
Yeah, of course, because he was on this one, so obviously. He's the reason behind the other songs he wasn't involved in.
Yeah. Being like, Brent Wilson. It's Brent Wilson, actually. He's just coming for all of them.
It's Brent Wilson from prison.
Who gave that man a computer?
God damn.
Or who's Brent. Using the computer for him, I guess, is what we should ask.
Who's the Sarah with an H?
God damn it.
It's all coming together. Back. It's fucking conspiracy. But yeah, that's it. It's a little shorty one. I don't think we have a lot more to talk about. I will say, I meant to mention this earlier, but I did promise Dennis that I was going to listen to Girls, Girls, Boys with the perspective of it being from the girl's perspective or from a girl's perspective.
A new perspective.
And I don't know that it makes it better. I don't think it does. You still got somebody who doesn't care about this person's reputation, who doesn't care about them being outed, who is describing themselves as a villain vying for attention, who is talking about sophisticated, manipulated. It's still the same energy. It's just you swap genders. And I don't think that swapping genders and it now being about being from the perspective of a girl should then preclude it from being creepy and gross. I think it's just as creepy and gross. It's just like not fratty anymore.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I think if it's not fratty, then you just swap over to a sorority. I don't feel like.
Well, maybe, but I think a lot of like the frat dude bro energy is coming from the fact that it's Brendan talking about it. We know that his like whole deal is like, hey, I wanted to sleep with these two lesbians. And also, I think George Clooney and Brother Where Art That was hot. Like, that's the vibe. Like, I wouldn't kiss a guy, but like, you know, whatever. But like, it's that whole, like, it comes from that place. But if you like remove him from it and think about it's being written from the perspective of a woman, then I don't think there's really like, I guess you could do the sorority thing, but you take away like the lived experience of Brendan. And that's the reason why we have that frat boy thought about it. So I think it's just like creepy. I think it's just gross. I think it's just, you lose the fratty stuff and that is an extra layer of gross, but it does not stop it from being gross. I think if you change.
Well, I think what you would then instead get is Miss Jackson as a character and her song.
Her version. I mean, I think that's totally true. I think, yeah, so, absolutely.
Does not remedy the issue. So
that's where I'm at with that. Not the issue. So, yeah, still a bop, but still not my favorite vibe of not my favorite vibe of the year. I gotta say that. I don't know where that voice came from. So that's it for this. Thank you, Dennis, for letting us know about it. I probably wouldn't have found it otherwise. So thank you. Next week, and the reason why I mentioned it was funny that Fall Out Boy also had a Lullaby song on Fully I Do is because we are actually talking about a song from Fully I Do. Fall Out Boy, I think their fourth album? I think it was their fourth album. Yeah, their fourth album. It came out in 2008. And the song that we are going to talk about next week is $20 Nosebleed, which features Brendan Urie.
Boyd.
And Boyd. And I have some things, we have some things to say. I really love Fully I Do. Like I said, I love $20 Nosebleed, so I'm going to have a good time talking about that. But I do have some things to say about Fully I Do and how people were used on that album. So I am looking forward to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a shorty.
It's a shorty. We did it. We managed to get out of here under an hour. Under 50 minutes because that 2 minute play of Lullaby is going to push us over 45. So I was going to say 45, but we're not making
it. You and I are, however.
45. We are, if we wrap up like right now. So thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week for a Fall Out Boy song.
How weird.
And as always, what we like to say is love you, bye.